As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Happy Labor 24th to you. For many, it's a big day. Because it's the first day of the NFL draft. But it's also... It's also, NFL fans are everywhere. It's also a big day here in Memphis, Tennessee. Because the first real playoff game, what, since the Grizzlies won game 5 of their first round playoff series versus the Lakers back in 23 to get it to a 6th game that went out to then went out to L.A. It'll be our first playoff game in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, we do play-ins, yes, playoffs, not since... What was it? Game 5 of that Lakers series. And so back down at FedEx Forum tonight. And Grizzlies, obviously, a big underdog and have been and will be for the remainder of this series. We will talk about tonight's matchup. I'm excited to get to it because I feel like, John, if there's one, well, we'll see, right? A lot going on, though, like the NFL draft. Doesn't sound like John's going to be able to get his hands on Ashton Jeanty, not his Raiders at least, because – everything now points to the Jags taking Ashton Jeanty at 5. Boy, has that Boise State running back and maybe the next Saquon Barkley moved up in terms of mocks and everything. Excited about the draft. Jackson Dart, he's going to be a third quarterback selected in the first round. Yo, remember Fitz's prediction, too, because I saw it today, John, from someone else, that Jackson Dart would go before Shadur.
Okay, so let's pick it up.
I saw it from someone else today. And we got that from Fitzy about 2 weeks ago, Jason Fitz, who joins us now on Tuesday. My partner's got a strong column up over at DailyMemphian.com. I suggest you go read about Tigers football and where expectations should be ahead of this weekend's spring game. We will talk about that on the basketball side. Penny's working. He has to. And I saw Ja Morant defend himself in court, and the case was dropped in this case. The lawsuit against him, the case was dropped. Remember the teenager? From however many summers ago it was now, who was suing Ja Morant. Well, Ja was apparently right to fight because he's not going to owe a dime now that this case has apparently been dropped. We'll get more into that and the particulars of it should we need to. Don't figure we need to spend too much time on that.
Yeah, we have a lot to get to today. Very busy show.
Ton.
Very busy show. And like you mentioned, headline, of course, is Game 3, Grizz Thunder. You know, I will say I was there for the play-in game against the Mavericks. It was a hell of an environment. I would expect the environment to be very similar to that tonight. I don't see why it would be worse. People want to go to the playoff games. They want to cheer their team on to a win. So we'll get into that today. What chance do we ascribe the Memphis Grizzlies to do this? To I guess win is one thing. Stay within the number would be a great start. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. Drew Hill going to join us at 11:25. We will talk to him about this game, this series, the future, right? Because there's a real chance by the next time we talk to Drew, it'll be offseason time, checkout time.
Could very well be.
So we'll get into all that with Drew at 11:25. Then at 1:25, it's also NFL draft day and a lot of moving parts. I am now in official curb expectation mode for myself at 6. Okay. My hopes were incredibly set on Ashton Jeanty. It feels as though that dream has died.
My hopes were kind of high on trading with the Jags to get above you to get Ashton Jeanty. That feels dead.
Right.
So they both died.
We'll talk to Adam Chernoff, see if there are any NFL draft day bets that are still out there that you can make on draft day. You know, for me, my draft portfolio is non-existent. I don't really bet on the draft. I don't really enjoy it because it's controlled. You know, like it's not like a shot goes in, a shot doesn't go in. Pass is thrown and caught or it's dropped. These are like decisions that are being made, and I don't have the information, right? That's the part that I can't stand. But people look at it in a lot of different ways. So we'll talk to Adam Chernoff about the draft and what he expects tonight at 1:25. So that is the show today. But, man, it's Thursday. Usually we knock this thing out by Monday. Usually we're doing cap or no cap on Mondays, which just speaks to the busyness around here, right? But we are going to do it. We're going to do it here on Thursday, Brad. Let's do a little cap or no cap. All right, let's get it going. If the Grizzlies win one or even cover a game in this series, it is going to be tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 3. Cap or no cap?
Well, that's no cap. I mean, if you're going to have a response, it feels like tonight. I could see a scenario where you're ready to pack it in if you're down 3-0. It's very easy to envision that. You could question, apparently, especially at points in game one, of whether you've been truly in it the entire time, right? Whether you truly had a belief that you could win this thing, because certainly in game one, with body language and everything else, you wondered how much do they care. Now, they responded in game two, OKC still covers, and that's what I like that part of it, because you know, OKC hadn't just been beating you. They've been doing what they did to you in the regular season and even worse, and covering. And so I do think, with the way the question's phrased here, if they're going to do it, it's going to be tonight, whether it's covering or whether it's actually, we all think, going to be pretty tough to win.
Right.
It will happen tonight because again, it's not just the Grizzlies and what would happen in a game four if you're already down 3-0.
Yep.
It's let's talk about it, the fan base, too. I mean, it'll be charged up in there to start because you're down 2-0.
Right.
For the most part here, everything's happened that's supposed to happen in the sense that OKC has won on its home floor. And so there is essentially still hope, even though, as we've talked about it this week, part of the thing that's kept us off cap or no cap, this is a tough situation, right? We've spent hours dissecting it, and especially in terms of what do you do going from here? Back to the point, yes, if it's going to happen, yeah, no cap. It's going to happen tonight, whether that's covering or whether it's winning.
Agreed.
The pride will show tonight, right, both from fans and from players, you would hope.
Yeah, the number is around 9.5.
9.5 is what I see at ESPN Bet.
It opened 9, right, and it got down to 8.5 a little bit yesterday, but now it's back up to 9.5. It's interesting. It closed, 15? 14.5, 15 in game two, closed 12.5, 13 in game one. So, home court advantage is like worth, four and a half for the Grizzlies here. I don't know. I agree that it would be tonight.
Yeah, and that's the question. If it's going to happen, it's not.
Right.
It will happen.
Right.
Which is, that's a differentiator there.
Yeah.
Between the two, if it's going to happen.
Yeah, because
I think it's unlikely. There's a good chance you're looking at this thing being done in two.
You just don't.
Two more.
Because it's not going to be game four, because if you don't do it tonight, you're going to be ready to be in this thing.
1-2-3 Cancun.
Right. You don't want to go back to Oklahoma City. You don't want to extend this series.
You're probably tired of you getting beat up every day on national television. They're saying you should be on NBA TV. Shouldn't even be showing you on the ESPN ABC stuff, TNT stuff.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know. It was interesting.
My guess is they would bail. They would or be ready to, and especially once OKC put a run on. That's why, again, if it's going to be done, tonight's the night. If they still believe it'll show tonight,
yeah.
Clearly, the fans early are going to be wanting to, and that's what you get. That's why I expect great atmosphere at least to start, because there is still hope. Although the reality here is brutal.
What's interesting is that I was actually at the Thunder game. The regular season game, March 5th, here in Memphis. And that game closed it was an 8:30 game, just like this one. And that game closed like 7, right? It was like I think the Thunder were -7, and the Grizzlies were pretty healthy, right? They had Ja out there, Bane out there. I guess Jaren didn't play. Jaren was out in that game, it looks like. But the Thunder cruised 121-103. They weren't quite healthy either because they didn't have Chet Holmgren out there. But yeah, they handled them 1-17. So,
well, that's what they've done all year.
It's just hard to kind of imagine, the Grizzlies being competitive at this point. Well, I mean, they have flashes, but can they do it for an entire game?
And you figure at some point an efficient game from SGA is coming.
Exactly.
He hasn't been great from the field, even though he's put up numbers specifically in game two. He was able to put up numbers. He hasn't been efficient. He hasn't played well offensively.
Yep.
And the way that guy ticks, that's what he's looking for next game. Like, it's not just mowing over Memphis. Let's get this thing done as quickly as possible because we've got a chance to get some rest ahead of Clippers, Denver, whoever we see.
Yep.
It's not just that. He's about the process. And so getting to the most efficient form of himself, I mean, that's what this guy's focused on in addition to being a great leader that sets the culture there. And so he's just so businesslike, and you can't do anything but respect him. Even
no
though,
doubt.
Did you see, what was it? Who does the commercials that we hate, the first one with Chet?
It was Shea.
They doubled Who does them, though?
Oh, it was like T-Mobile.
I think they doubled down again. You see the one that's got Jalen Williams in it now?
Uh-uh.
They're coming on down the carpet. We told folks, remember, everybody was saying they need to take this off of television. This thing is an embarrassment, him and Chet singing. Well, I can't even remember how the song they were singing at this point. But they did another one, dude. Back to the point.
The game I was talking about, yes. He had 41.
Okay.
So, like, that performance is coming.
Something, exactly. Back to the point. Something like that is likely coming within the next two games. You could get it tonight, which just further, expedites this thing.
Yeah, it does. So, we'll see. We'll see, again, it's not hard to lose by more than 9 points. It's really not. Like, you lose every quarter by 4, you lose by 16.
Now, hold up. You were down there for the play-in? They won.
Yes.
We're going to send you down tonight.
Not a chance.
Maybe you're the lucky charm.
Not a chance, man. I've been down there. I think my record in attendance was very mixed.
No, we lost OKC, but that was regular season.
Yes.
I don't count play-in as playoffs. I don't think anybody does, but maybe we can say, John helped in the postseason.
Off the top of my head.
I'm kidding. That's not going to help anything. Good luck.
I was there for the Warriors when they beat the Warriors down, when Steph had like 2 points. So I was there for that one.
Yeah.
I was there for this Thunder loss. I was there for the Knicks loss. I was there for the Nuggets loss. And they lost to the Nuggets without Jokic at home. And then I was there for, I think it was like the NBA Cup.
Mm.
And then I was there the other night against the Mavericks. So I don't know. I think that's like 2 and 3.
If you expect me to count it up, I'm not.
Well, you can't keep track of my attendance record, man.
No.
I mean, this is unbelievable. But I think it was 2 and 3.
Okay.
So
well,
very mixed.
Stay away.
Mixed.
Again, you have your doubt already anyway.
Not quite like when Riley was born.
You won't help because you're a non-believer.
Well, I totally
you won't help
am.
This game three.
That's
effort.
Right.
You're not even going to be up out of your seat.
Now
stay away. We don't need you down there. You're not. But we need the little bit of belief that's left here.
Yeah.
If it can do anything for them.
When Riley was born, I think the Tigers won like a 10-game win streak.
What?
Something along those
Tigers?
Lines. Yeah.
Okay.
It was something crazy. Maybe it wasn't 10, but they made a real run. At any rate, yeah, it's going to be a tough road to hoe for the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. But if there is one, if there is a game where we're going to see their best, it is definitely game three.
Okay.
It is definitely tonight. All right. John is right that Memphis football should be held to a conference title or bust standard. Cap or no cap?
I think it's no cap, but I'll let you break down your column.
Well, I just felt like, spring game's on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't talked a lot about Memphis football because we've been in the thick of this Grizzlies playoff run.
Right.
But I kind of get the sense, just going back and forth with some Memphis football fans, that, the expectations and the, standard isn't maybe as high as it needs to be. That the pressure isn't as high as it needs to be. And so I wrote basically the Daily Memphian that, whatever it is on Saturday, whatever we're seeing on Saturday, that better be the 2025 American Athletic Conference champions. It's time. Because there's no excuse for Tulane, which is doing the same thing that you're doing, who you beat last year. They're having to replace their starting quarterback who left for Duke. They're having to do the same thing. Why are they favored over you right now? Army and Navy have no NIL. Why are they favored over you right now? You're the big spender. You're one of two, maybe three big spenders in the American. And if we're going to say that Memphis basketball needs to do that, if we're going to say that Memphis basketball is the behemoth in the AAC and they need to win the league, well, they did it.
Yeah.
So now it's time for Memphis football to fall in line and do the same thing. When you have the resources, you don't have excuses. When you don't have resources, you have excuses. But most every coach in America would prefer to have the resources as opposed to being able to use excuses. And that's Memphis football has the best roster that you're gonna be able to buy in the American. You know, and look, I think Silverfield's done a pretty good job of assembling the talent. You know, he brought in Antoine Hill Jr. this year. Last year, he brought in Mario Anderson Jr., and he had 21 combined touchdowns from the SEC. Like, he's done a good job finding the players.
I really agreed with that point in your column. I mean, even the guys he's pulled up, like Chandler Barton,
yeah,
I believe
yes.
he's Tennessee State.
Yes.
You know, a guy who I believe should be in the NFL. He's
yes.
found guys up, he's found guys down, and he's done well there. And so well, John, to your point, it should have produced at least a conference title by now. Or a conference title game appearance.
At least
as
your appearance.
As your column points out, you're
yes.
in the game.
Yes, not even in the game, not one time.
And was fourth last year when you were picked first.
That's unacceptable. I'm sorry, it's unacceptable. When you're the AAC's top spender, it is unacceptable. The expectation is and needs to be to play for the conference championship. Anything less than that is going to be a disappointment, and it's going to be considered, to me, a negative return on investment. And there are some people out there right now that are going to listen to this, they're going to read the column, they're going to say, man, that is really, really tough on a guy that just won 11 games last year. They're going to say that. And I understand that sort of that perspective in a vacuum. But the stakes are insanely high for Memphis athletics right now. Mm-hmm. Like the urgency, right, to get out of this league, they're investing hundreds of millions of dollars into this stadium. They're trying to revitalize the entire athletic department. They're trying to get out of the American. And when you're the top spender in the league, but you don't even play for the conference championship, it hurts those ambitions to me. It does. 10 wins is fine. It's great. But if it's not relevant to the conference championship, why am I supposed to care about them? I don't. I don't care that Memphis football wins 10 games a year if they don't play for the AAC championship. It doesn't matter. It's empty calories. I mean, if you want to feel good about, you know, beating up on UT Martin and beating up on, you know, North Alabama, 2 of your 10, I mean, that's fine. And I guess there was a time, we do this every time, there was a time where that didn't happen. But this program is a serious program now. And when you are the spending the amount of money that Memphis is spending on football and they're not appearing in the title games, it is unserious. It is unserious. And if that's going to continue to be the case, then Memphis needs to be willing to look at making drastic changes. I hope this is the year for Silverfield. But this idea that, like, oh, new quarterback, new defense, new, dude, time is now.
Not after you didn't win the conference title in your quarterback's fourth year.
Exactly.
Not after that guy stayed that long. You were picked one and you didn't get it done. Does not winning another conference title again because you've got to push a reset, you know, work. No, no.
You don't get to do that.
Unfortunately, you don't have a higher finish than third in the 5 years in your conference. And last year was a tie for third, but you're fourth because you lost to Navy. And so, matter of fact, Brad, give him a round of applause if you don't mind. If that's coming from me, I hope from you as well. Because this is where I am. This is where I've been. If you're going to sort of make and Ed talked about yesterday at the Bank of Bartlett, where you know you had fans and donors and boosters, because he's talking to them about their money and how it's going to work in this NIL system. You know, $20.5 million and what the big boys got in revenue sharing.
Right.
He talked about being about at the halfway point. Right?
Yep.
Hoping to land in the $10 million range in terms of what they can share.
Yep.
Okay. You're getting $5 million a year. Much of it, we believe, from Fred Smith for football.
Yep.
Okay. We've discussed how your budget in basketball, somewhere between 4 and 5, and it doesn't seem, from what John's telling us, like that's going up. And so my point is all of this, again, you're in their building with basketball. You had 6,500 butts in seats. That was the reality for a nationally ranked team all season long. You now have it's going to be 40,000, 45,000 when the renovations are done. newly renovated stadium that in first time in your history you control, not the city. You see, they're over there throwing concerts.
Yep.
And no, for the folks that were wondering, was I endorsing who this first concert in 30 years was? Just a real side note, real quick. Chris Brown, they're having Chris Brown, whose music is played on the radio, all this stuff.
Yes, he's
had his legal troubles. My point was, I was endorsing
the
Memphis Athletic Department for now stepping into a world right now. And boy, is it going to be tricky for them. Can you imagine the Athletic Department of Memphis having to be all hands on deck for a Chris Brown concert? That's on them. But the point is, that's your revenue now. And so this is a whole new potentially horizon. And so is getting a football program, back to John's point, that is resourced. And Ed just said it yesterday to the boosters, to the donors, that is resourced as well as anything in the group of five and at the top of the AAC. He started with the best in the group of five.
Right.
He pulled it and said, well, right there at the top of the list.
Yep.
And so if you've got that and it feels like you're really shoving a lot of it to football, John, you nailed it. It's time to produce. And yes, folks, maybe that call early because you've been a basketball school for your whole history, right? You've tried football and they've never taken you in terms of when you're writing this and you're getting that word out. I mean, you and I have talked about this before, and I think this need has probably been necessary for a while. No one's listening at first because at first it's, what are you talking about? This is fiction. Memphis can never do this. This is the way we've come up.
Yep.
That's generations.
Yep.
And so that's, but I think, and especially with the way that Ed has come in and used math, and he did it again yesterday in terms of, I'm taking your NIL money and this is how I'm using it, and here's what we expect to have, half of the $20.5 million. If you are looking at that math, you understand that a shift to football is probably your only choice.
Right.
You have again been priced out,
right,
at what it cost to be nationally relevant and nationally competitive on the basketball side. It certainly feels that way. Now, Penny's going to put together the best team he can. He's now limited in a way that he hadn't been, in a way that he wasn't even last summer, John. Telling us the $4 or $5 million last year, you're rich with it.
Yep.
The $5 million now, tops. Not poor, but we talked about it yesterday. Doesn't even, you know, there, you got programs all over the country that can go out and offer more than you, so. It's a tough boat to be in. I agree 100%. Probably went on too long because I've been here.
Yeah.
Good to see you here. I'm glad someone wrote it. And Ryan Silverfield should be held to a conference title or bust standard. Because if you are making a shift back to where you were saying it yesterday, it's what we've said. If you are making a shift to football and you're going to hold, you know, you're gonna throw all this in, you have to be held. You know, Tulane didn't expect less when they go through Willie Fritz to the, what, they got Summerall now?
Mm-hmm.
When they move quarterbacks, like you've pointed out.
Yeah.
The standard remains the standard, and they've been able to do that.
No doubt about
it. You don't hold on to a coach because he got 21 wins, but none of them are a conference title. Yeah, and even making the game. You don't hold on to that coach for that. You say, no, we want to compete with Boise State to be outside the best thing outside the power structure and to get that group of five playoff spot. But if we don't, if they pull it out from under us, the big guys push us out from that table, by the time realignment hits in 2030, talks start earlier, maybe you're a football school.
Yeah.
You know, that Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium over there is quite a, you know, it's quite an experience on Saturdays. It's a new experience. You got a good football product in there. And if Ryan Silverfield can't deliver it, well, you better get moving on who can, because you need to be there.
Yep.
You need to be hot by 27, 28, 29. You can't be waiting.
Tulane just added a transfer quarterback named Brendan Sullivan, who started games at Iowa and Northwestern in the past three seasons. They have TJ Finley on the roster, who I think they intended to be the starter, but he has a legal case of stolen things. So illegal possession of stolen things. So he's currently suspended. So they had to bring in another, you know. But again,
and they were flirting with Nico.
Right.
So my point is, they haven't stopped investing once Willie Fritz was out of there because they thought, oh, man, this is a one-off, and we're happy with what we've done. They've maintained that high level, and I've used Boise State as the example. They've gone through coaches, and when you're not meeting that standard that they've got out there of winning conference titles, and now it, again, puts you in a position to make the playoff like they did last year, when you're not doing that, they move on. Avalos, they move, they fire you. You won 10 games the year before. 5-5, no. And so, no, Ryan hasn't gone 5-5, but no, he has not delivered the conference title, and that has to be the standard. If you want to reach the ceiling, if you want to maximize this risk you're taking, changing your history, basically. Yep. I mean, you're not changing your history. You're changing your future in terms of the way you do things. And maybe it's different in terms of how you're viewed from an athletic department standpoint. Maybe it's different in terms of revenue.
Yep.
You own that building now. You have control of it.
I mean,
that concert is yours.
Yep.
And you can put as many, because it's an open-air venue. It doesn't deal with a non-compete of the Grizzlies.
Correct.
The possibilities are limitless.
Yep.
Get you a good football product in there, too.
Yep.
And that thing could be humming around there.
Well, and the reality is, it's like, it's a stadium. The bigger acts want to play stadium.
100%, bro.
They don't want to play 18,000.
Especially a newly renovated one that's got a reopened, reimagined North Tunnel that they can then get their trucks in. Jonah Dillon from over the Commercial Appeal saying that won't be ready by the time they get Chris Brown to where it's just smooth like that. But that's the plan. And so you'll be able to get those acts in here very smoothly. We've seen logistics issues with the Forum, not to try to make this back and forth, but the point is you can separate it. You know, who was it? Was that Drake? Now, he was probably lying.
Yeah,
but the point is, logistics are a part of the reason,
no doubt about it,
that Simmons Bank, formerly Liberty Bowl, whatever you want to call it, hadn't had a concert there, a big one, since U2 in 90. This is the first one in 30 years. And now all of that with these renovations going to be wide open. It won't just be Tigers fans that are in there, potentially 40, 45,000 of them in the newly renovated stadium. It'll be everything that you can do besides that. The freaking circus, John. What do you want to bring? What you want? Who you want to bring here?
I mean,
what act do you want to bring and say, hey, we got 45,000 for you? You know?
Yeah.
You're in a new market.
You can't get Taylor Swift.
And
you
can
like
use
the,
that,
you
man.
Get the,
no, well, I didn't think you were going to shoot for Taylor. I thought you were going to have something for me, though.
Well, I mean,
Taylor's a little too high. Like that, we were talking about Aldi and everything, Kroger and the rankings. And Taylor, you're just up at the top. You're not going to get Taylor in 45,000.
Well, you got to go B list, right?
So I'm gonna let you.
B list is okay.
I'm gonna let you figure it out. But yeah, I guess. Yeah, you know, Chris Brown.
He's a high B list.
I guess so. I'm not celebrating so much the act. I mean, what are we talking about here? Musicians got a rest. They got a lot of them do. But the fact that Memphis is now in this game, you know, there's possibilities now on that side.
Doja Cat.
Doja Cat. Now, I'm telling you, half of Orange Mountain might turn out for Doja Cat for real.
You can get like Doja Cat. You can get like, you know.
I don't know.
Chapel Roan,
I don't listen to Doja.
Dude,
they said this is the biggest R&B event of the year in Memphis. That's how Memphis was selling. I heard it on the radio. That is outstanding. Now, what I can't imagine, I can see Ed Scott up in the suites for the concert. And any of his friends he wanted to invite or whatever. I can't imagine the Memphis athletic department, though, having to walk Chris Brown to the stage and how crazy that could get. That's the business you're getting in now, a little bit. Who knows logistically what it'll look like, but it's your building now. So you got to have some hands on deck. That could get real wild.
Yep.
But, again, it's an all-new horizon for them because the city, you know, transferred that over. So, again, there are a lot of possibilities on the football side that it feels like now, it's worth a shift to go see if you can capitalize on what's happening over there.
Yeah. All right. Drew Hill's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about this Grizzlies game 3 tonight, where his head's at, and if he himself is planning on going to Cancun. Can he taste the sort of, you know, the beach, right? Can he just smell it? Now, you know, sometimes that seaweed brushes up on the beach and it don't smell very good.
And you like to get it on your feet.
Right. But, you know, that's why you just stay on the resort. Mm-hmm. But again, we'll talk to Drew about all that and more on the other side. Jason and John, how do you try to...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He'll be in the building tonight as the Grizzlies take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, Game 3. He joins every Thursday, and he joins us now. All right, Drew, how are we feeling?
Man, it feels like that Chris Brown song that Brad was just playing. It feels like it's been forever since I've seen the Grizzlies play a game in Memphis, and it's only been a handful of days. It was only Friday. That was a long trip. That was a rough trip. I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, it was just not competitive whatsoever. Didn't necessarily see all that much of what you hoped to see. And not a whole lot to take away from it, other than just how far this team is from OKC. So I'll let you guys steer the ship, but there wasn't a whole lot. Not a whole lot, I thought, to make of those first two games that's at least fun to talk about, that's for sure.
Were you, Drew, did you find yourself at halftime of game two questioning their competitiveness, their effort level, like it felt like the national crews were doing, like it maybe, you know, felt like to me, if you were watching, I thought it was fair at halftime. There was certainly a response. What did you think? Were you surprised at half that there wasn't a stronger response to from the get-go? I realized they missed a lot of open shots to start the game.
I think they missed a lot of open shots, but they also, like, still struggled to get into their offense. Like, you know, like, yes, I think both can be true. Honestly, I was seeing that. DeMichael and I were sitting next to each other at the game. That's actually a point we both made to each other. So, there's a lot of people pointing out that the Grizzlies are missing open shots. It doesn't really seem like the Grizzlies are getting too many open shots in that first half, although they did miss a few open ones. So I just think that the effort, obviously, it was fair to question it, but we just hadn't seen anything else all season. So it's hard to just say it's effort over and over and over again when no matter what the scenario is, the Thunder win by 20. You know, like, was it effort the first?
No, I get it. Like, it yeah.
Was, I guess that's the problem.
I hear what you're saying, and I don't even want to take you down that road because I know how big a mountain it is. I guess I'm more asking that question because I'm curious about buy-in. I'm curious about their belief, right? How much they really wanted to do this, how much they believed. And if it's just been maybe a half where we've seen, all right, now let's go. And Jaron did step up, you know, offensively. I'm wondering not so much about can Efford really even this thing. It can't. I'm with you. You don't. No, it's more like are we getting a team that truly believes or one that's ready to go 1-2-3 Cancun? That's more what I'm asking in terms of your eyeballs.
I mean, it doesn't. Listen, like Jarrell got asked about his mentality going into Game 3, and Jarrell's answer was he's ready to go home and get some time with his family. Like that to me. I think this team is trying to treat this realistically. And this is actually something that I wrote in my column between games. And I still think everything I wrote in that column holds true. I'm glad I wrote it when I did, because I could have had – it was a possibility to hold on and wait to make some of the points that I wanted to make. And among them was, you know, what else? You want the players to say in this situation other than we're gonna try to get back. Like what they're gonna say doesn't matter. It's just not gonna matter. But I think what you're gonna find out by the way that this team responds and the way that this sort of plays out is you're gonna learn some lessons here, right? And they might be hard lessons to learn, but you're gonna learn some lessons. You're gonna learn what Jaron's made of, I think, at this point. And it was a good thing he showed up in that third quarter because the first half was ugly again for Jaron. And you're going to learn, you know, a little bit more about Isolo, I think. You're going to learn whether or not he can get the team to buy in and not completely lay down in the rest of the series. And, you know, I think we're going to learn just – how far the Grizzlies have to go in this situation, because it's almost hard to believe, guys. Like, we're just sitting there after the game against OKC in Game 1, and I'm just going through my head, going through the OKC roster, going like, what guy on this team is not going to be here next year?
Right.
Oh, wait, none of them. They're all back. And then you're like, well, man, if they're this good – I don't even have interest in being good while they're this good. Because how the heck are you going to – how the heck is anyone going to beat this team? Like, that was what it felt like in that moment. And so it's this realization of how far you are from being as good as them. And I think some of that, you know, definitely falls on the shoulders of Zach Kleiman. And so, like, there are lessons we're going to learn from this. A lot of them are going to suck to learn. But I think we're in the middle of doing that. And it's just been ugly from the beginning. And this is something that they asked for. This is something I still think is worthwhile. But it's challenging. And to me, it's also very challenging on the fan base. I'm very interested to see what the response is going to be down there tonight. And, you know, I know if you're in the shoes of the Grizzlies, you're probably you know, hoping for – nothing but sunshine and rainbows when it comes to this stuff, and the fans show up and go support their team. But, you know, this has been a hard week to swallow for everyone, for the players, for the fans, everything. So I'm very interested to see what it's going to be like tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hard part of this is that, you know, there's just – it feels like this Thunder team is adjustment-proof. They're matchup-proof. I mean, at least with what the Grizzlies have. Maybe there's some – you know, a series down the line where there is one that a coach can make. But I think that's just the most demoralizing part about it is like the Grizzlies don't have anything they can do other than hope that Desmond Bane, you know, shoots 50% from three and Jaron, you know, has 30 and Ja has – like, it just seems like that's not a great plan. There is no great plan. I think that's the part of it that's the most demoralizing, Drew.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Isolo actually talked about this. And it was something that I noted was, you know, he keeps talking about the team's identity. We got to stick to our identity and see how far that can take us against this team. We can't make wholesale changes and, like, you know, to what we do. Like, we've got to stick to this identity. And then after, you know, after he had mentioned that, I asked, like, what exactly was a team's identity? And he laid it out in three different steps about the way that they get shots. And, like, you know, it was a pretty extensive answer. And I thought about it, and this isn't even a criticism of him, but he does talk constantly about making things so simple. And I said, you know, for someone that talks about making things so simple, it doesn't seem to be a very simple identity. Now, it is when you break it down, but it's not when you explain it. I bring that up to say, you know, it feels like the Grizzlies always were like, this is our idea. We're forging ahead with this no matter what. We're not making those adjustments. We're going to see how we stack up against this team because we have to treat this realistically. We have to, you know, we're just going to see where we stand. I think if you gave them truth serum, they would tell you we're probably not going to win this series. But at least let's get the most out of this that we possibly can. And maybe the way that you do that is by putting the feet to the fire here, right? and just trying to ask those three guys to step up and do it. And just trying to play the way that you think you can play in the future, and seeing how close you are to being able to do that productively. It feels like that's the strategy, right? It's not like we're going to make all these adjustments and try to get real weird and funky to try to go win a playoff series. It feels like the Grizzlies are like, we might struggle, but we're sticking through this, and we're going to at least get some value out of this by seeing how far we can come or we can go with this.
Yeah, Drew, we're going to try you back. We're going to try you back on another line. I don't know what's going on with those. You got the clickers again.
What he's describing is a lot like a root canal, is what mm-hmm. I was thinking as he's describing it. It's necessary.
Yeah.
You've asked for it because you know you need to get to the other side.
That's right.
But there is no fun in a root canal.
No.
It very likely could be painful.
Yeah, and then you have to have the maintenance afterwards. You know, you got to make sure you stay on top of that root canal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Drew, you got us?
Yeah, I got you.
But yeah,
anyway,
no, you just finish that point.
I was just saying they're not making adjustments. It feels like they've got this strategy. They're going to stick to it and see how far it could take them.
In terms of Jaren Jackson Jr., Drew, I've gathered from you and from Chris, and I've seen him on, you know, some NBA guys, you know, media guys, third team for all NBA. I'm curious, and I probably ask you a version of this every other week. But now that we're sort of, you know, we're here, are you expecting it still? And then with that would come from what, I've gathered from you and Drew, you and Chris, would be what, between $300 and $350 million that you could offer them? Are you expecting all that to happen?
Well, I think it's really thin whether or not he's going to become third team. We can't really know for sure. It seems like it's going to be really close when you look at the way that some of the voting has come out.
Yep.
So if he is, then it does open the door for you to do that and to be able to maintain a lot, not maintain, but like have more flexibility with the rest of the roster.
Right.
So the hope still is that answer is yes, right? If you're the Grizzlies, and that he does make the third team All NBA. The other avenue would be to renegotiate and then extend. But that gives you a lot less flexibility if you're going to fork over the money to Jaren, because you have to you'd have to release the cap holds on multiple other players, which you might do anyway, but like that includes like Bagley, for example. So you wouldn't be able to hold on to players like him. You'd have to trade, you'd have to get off salary in order to free up money to renegotiate for next year. So whether that's John Conchar or Jay Huff or whoever it might be. So like there's just in order to free that money up, you might have to attach assets, right?
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, you certainly hope Jaren ends up third team All NBA still. Now the question is, can you pay a player like Jaren, who has unquestionably underperformed in the playoffs, a contract that is not meant for a player like him?
That's where I was going.
A contract that is meant for players that are of the elite in the NBA. But there's multiple things in play here. You're a small market team. You're the Memphis Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. Like you, and to retain players like this, you pay a premium. It's just the reality of the situation. that's how it works. Like, free agents aren't signing up to come to Memphis. They just, they're not, if we're just going to call it realistically here. And so that is the way that it works. You have a star player who has enjoyed being in Memphis, has been a big part of the community, has represented the team well. And we can choose to look at this through the lens of the postseason and postseason success only.
Right.
But, I mean, I know that's the way that, like, most people, especially the online universe, chooses to view basketball. Mm-hmm. There's value in having a productive, dependable player that can make you postseason relevant, that can make you regular season relevant, like the way that Jaren Jackson has for the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, it stinks when your team, like, it's especially hard when no one gives a crap about the team because they have no shot at making the playoffs. And Jaren, really, if we're being honest, is the reason the Grizzlies are in the playoffs, because he helped them survive when Ja was hurt this year. And meant the most. Like, he still, in terms of who had the greatest impact on the regular season, that was Jaren. So, you know, those players still hold value. Like, to just completely devalue a player like that because of the postseason performances, which I understand are frustrating, that's not fair either. So maybe the answer's somewhere here in the middle. But it seems like it would be pretty extreme, right, to give a player that hasn't given you all that much in the postseason.
Right.
A wildly expensive contract,
especially, you know, as invested as you are right now in Bane, and then with Ja. I mean, that's the issue. It becomes math, right? I mean, that's part of the issue here.
The number one question I'm looking forward to asking when the season is over is asking general manager Zach Kleiman if he still has the belief that these three players can take this team to where he has said that they can take them.
That's where we are.
To a championship.
That's where we are. Yes, you're 100%.
And I would like to hear his answer.
Good question.
I would like to hear an answer to that. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if the answer is that he still believes that, you know? And maybe he does, but it's hard.
I would just say, in your expert opinion, if you go into that final year of Jaren's deal, no matter whatever happens, you go into it, What would his value be in your estimation on the trade market? If, say, you did something with him at the deadline, say you just in some form run it back with the three, but the thing's broken, whether you stayed with Isolo or not, and it's deadline time. He's on an expiring at that point, right? If you've done nothing to extend, and I'm not saying we get to there, but I want to ask, what would his trade value be? Do you think?
I mean, he would certainly be valued as a championship level piece to some contending team. He's not going to have the value of, like, Luka, you know. He might have more value. It's interesting. He might have more value than Ja Morant, if we're just talking pure trade, given he doesn't have any of the off-court stuff that's happened to him over the career. He hasn't, you know,
and he's beating the injury factor, right? That was early in his career. To add to your points,
I think there's no question that he has more trade value.
I like where you're
going.
I like where you're going with this, Drew.
There's just no doubt.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that might be the case. But here's the thing: like, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I know.
I think we're going to know. Here's what the Grizzlies have to figure out. Let's just put it this way: here's what the Grizzlies have to figure out. They can put an offer on the table this summer for Jaren, and there's still plenty of reasons why Jaren would just say no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to go into it, like, because he can get more years. He can get an extra year if he waits until next offseason. No matter what, the Grizzlies are going to be able to pay him more money, so it's not like he's going to lose out on the opportunity of more future money by saying no, necessarily. So there's several reasons why Jaren doesn't have to sign anything this summer if he doesn't want to.
I thought so.
Now, the Grizzlies can be optimistic about whether or not Jaren wants to sign. We really have no idea how that dynamic is, because we don't know, you know, what's going to be offered or anything like that. But it's certainly possible that Jaren could just say, nah, like, I'm not going to do it. Let me play out next season.
Yep.
Maybe I'll I'll be a super max level player if he doesn't make all NBA. Like this offseason. Now, if he makes all NBA, like all this I'm discussing might go out the window because none of it really matters.
100%.
It would become his time to strike, right?
Right.
So if he makes all NBA, this all of this sort of changes. But it's certainly possible that they could do that. Well, then it's going to be the Grizzlies' job next season to say, okay, look, what is our confidence level that Jaren's going to sign a deal with us? And we can still offer more years. We can still offer more money. What's the confidence level that Jaren's going to sign the deal with us? Is it high? Is it low? We have to know that. Because if Jaren walks out that door for nothing,
oh, yeah,
it is malpractice on the part of the organization, and I think they know that. So, you know, it's going to be a fascinating summer. It starts with Jaren. It's why that game was so big, and it was a big deal that he played a lot better in the second half there. But it's going to be a fascinating summer of Jaren Jackson, and there's going to be a lot to debate because he has opened this door for scrutiny by not playing well in the postseason. He has done it to himself, and I think he understands that.
Yeah,
it's the truth.
Around the NBA playoffs, who has impressed you outside of this Thunder Grizzly series? Who's caught your eye?
I mean, I've just had a blast watching that Nuggets and Clippers series. You know, it just feels like that thing's going to head to seven games, right? It just feels like that's super likely. And Kawhi obviously is one of the best players in the freaking world when the postseason lights come on and he's healthy. And so to me, man, that's just so fun. Like that's what I've had the most. I didn't get a chance to watch all of those games while I was out in OKC. You know, I had to take a break from basketball last night. I had to put it off, turn the TV off for the night.
Blame you.
Said,
yeah. Well, Jimmy busted his ass.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it might be serious.
But I've had a lot of fun so far watching the first two games of Nuggets and Clippers. That's probably to me the best series of the first round. I don't know how you guys feel. And you know what, Pistons and Knicks have a chance to be really fun too.
Yeah, it has been fun. I like seeing these scrappy Pistons that don't know any better now. That you know had the worst record. What was it, two straight years there, had that nasty losing streak. It's JB, who we know. And that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, he'd obviously be high on a list, especially when you look at the roster is essentially the same that Monty had. I guess they've made some adjustments. But who would get your vote, Drew, for Coach of the Year, and then where would JB sort of be on that list? Is he in the top five of your list? I figured. I mean, he's got to be high on most people's lists, although I realize sometimes we go with, okay, runaway. You know, Dagnall's a good candidate because they ran away with it. Which way would you lean?
Yeah, I think I lean slightly toward Dagnall just because of the net rating thing.
They tore it up.
Because,
right, I get it. You worried about it.
Yeah, because analytically, basketball has become so analytical now, right? It's like true. Such a big part of the game. And, like, we measure greatness not off the same, ways that we measured greatness even back in the 90s, and we measure greatness now based on net ranking and on-off, you know, stats and all that stuff. And, you know, when you go to the advanced numbers, there's literally never been a team as good as the Thunder. And I think that they really represent what is the peak regular season team of this era of basketball. So, you know, if you're considering this slightly different than the Warriors team that obviously won the most games. But I think on a net ranking basis, the Thunder have been even better than that. So I'd probably go Dagnall, but I would go JB second because I think the Pistons are kind of the story of the NBA. Nobody really expected them to be this good.
Yep.
I hope Cade continues to take in the honors because I think he really deserves it.
Agreed.
He's taking a big step up. So I think it's right there. I wouldn't have any problem if you voted JB or Dagnall. I would probably lean Dagnall just because of how elite the Thunder were, but JB is certainly a deserving candidate.
Yeah, and then the last thing, we'd be remiss if we did not ask you about what could be a fortuitous night for the Chicago Bears organization. There is some movement in the betting odds markets that the market expects a trade up.
We have that extra second rounder, as you know, Drew.
Are you hoping slash expecting Ashton Jeanty tonight?
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hope or expect Jeanty. I would be fired up if it was Jeanty. I'd be so excited. So don't get me wrong.
Well, you're not getting him at 10. You're going to have to do something.
I would come to your house uninvited. If they get Jeanty, I'm just showing up at your door. I don't even know where you live, but I'll find out because I want to high-five you if we get Jeanty.
The Bears are now the favorite at FanDuel to draft Ashton Jeanty.
You have got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I thought
it was still the Jags.
It's the Jags.
It's moved. I'm telling you.
He's just getting our hopes up, Drew. That's all he's doing.
When you get off the phone,
listen, I'd be fine with it, but here's the thing. I feel like I'm going to be happy with no matter what the Bears do here because I feel fairly certain they're going to go offense here, like without question, now that Ben Johnson's the coach. I wouldn't be shocked if they, like, traded up and, like, if they really like Will Campbell, the tackle from LSU. Like, we saw how good the Lions were when they had Penei Sewell and, like, sort of when he has that offensive lineman weapon. It wouldn't surprise me if the Bears made a trade up and did something like that. They could sit at 10 and they could get one of the tight ends, you know, Tyler Warren.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Every morning brings a fresh, new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.